5 in. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. That sounds like she wants her bottle. Feed me, Mom. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 12.
Amen.
You got the real one over there. Amen. Golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even to so to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Amen. Law Amen. And the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amplify reads, so then in everything treat others the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the essence of the law and the writings of the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad and easy to travel is the path that leads the way to destruction and eternal loss. And there are many who enter through it, but small is the gate, narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life, and there are few who find it. Now when you read this scripture, we've heard that, you know, we always read the first passage of the scripture. We say, do unto others as you want them to do unto you, right? Especially if you see your kids acting up or you see something going on, you're like, you better treat others how you want them to treat you, right? But I thought it interesting as it starts off with saying, treat others as you want them to treat you, as a segue into entering into it, a straight gate. Did you catch that? He transitioned. It's all in the same three sentences before Jesus switches thoughts. He's using this as a segue into entering the gate, because he's showing you how powerful your relationships are. And if you don't manage your relationships right, it can even stop you from making it into heaven, because you don't know how to navigate through your life and the relationship, which I'll get into in a bit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your anointing will rest on us, Lord God, for however long it is that you desire to minister. I thank you, Father, for blessing me with strength and energy, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your anointing. I thank you, Father, that you're faithful. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, because of who you are, and we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. I like the title of my message today, What You Give Is What You'll Receive. Amen. Thank you. I may be seated. So, when Sister J woke up this morning, she gets up at about 4, I don't know, 4 something. Let's just leave it at that. But she gets up at 4 to go to work, and I get up with her most of the time, and I'll just pray after she leaves. And so this morning I was praying. I was like, Lord, what is it that you want me to speak this week? Like I tell you most of the time, he doesn't give it to me in advance. I get it like last minute. And sometimes I'll be like, man, I wish I could be prepared and have a lesson that's 2 and 3 weeks out. But he doesn't give them to me like that. He usually gives it to me like 2 hours before church. I got to take a shower and get to work or get in here so I can preach. It's like 2 hours before I get here. I'm like, okay, Lord, like, obviously you're trying to do something. You're trying to get Marquise out of the way and keep him out of the way, right, so that you can get your glory. So I embrace that, because it makes preaching easier when the Lord is moving through you and he can preach. Amen?
Amen.
So he spoke that scripture to me this morning. Do unto others, the golden rule is what he said. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And so I said, okay, I finished praying. I prayed for you all. I prayed for church service today. I prayed that God would have his way in service, blah, blah, blah. Prayed for my wife's knee. Went to sleep. So, most of you know already that I haven't really been feeling that well. I've been kind of fighting the cold for like 2 weeks. I'm on the back end of it. Thank you for praying, so on and so forth. But Jay sent out a prayer request that you pray that I get some sleep. So I've been taking this little bitty tablet, about this big, of melatonin every night. And that's some good stuff. I've been getting some sleep, for real. I'm surprised. It looked like a little sweet tart. Tastes like one, too. Right? I think grape is the flavor. I pop it in my mouth and sit there. I drink me some lemon and some ginger. And before you know it, I start getting drowsy. And I'm like, yep, it's that time. I'm about to go sleep good. Put a little peppermint under my nose right here so I don't cough. Jason, man, you be strong with that peppermint. I said, I know, but it helped me to not cough. So that hint, hint, clue, clue. If you're coughing at night, put some peppermint right here, right? So I go to sleep. And I take the melatonin. I woke up with Jay. I'm still a little woozy, but so it's easy for me to go back to sleep because I still got it in my system a little bit. And when I go back to sleep, I hear Sister Dawn's voice wake me up. I thought she was in the room, literally. I thought she had just walked in to wake me up, but she was like, Keith. And I just woke up, and when I woke up, it's like almost 11 o'clock, but I knew it was the Lord using her voice to wake me up, because I was going to sleep, all right, for real, I was going to sleep all day. So I got up out of the bed, I said, all right, I start moving around, and then I start asking the Lord, okay, Lord, I know you gave me this scripture, but I'm going to need you to help me with somebody in the verses or in the passages of scripture to kind of highlight someone that didn't apply the golden rule or where the golden rule was really applicable. And so I went and ironed my clothes and I'm talking to the Lord and I'm still waiting on him to give me an answer. And then I started thinking while I was ironing, I was thinking about the post office, right? I was thinking about the post office. So Sister Dawn and everybody's in there, right? And the Bible says one planteth, another water, but it's God that gives the increase, right? So there's people that saying we're a cult. Now, I brought soul winners into this year, right? I brought soul winners, right? You heard my voice, but now it's time for somebody else to come in and start saying some things. So they be doing their thing, right? But see, what I noticed is God gives you certain abilities and certain talents. And it's up to you how you use it. You can either use it to glorify the kingdom or you can use it for your own personal gain, right? Now, what Sister Dawn ain't going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, right? Is that it'd be some little young jokers up in there and they'd be like, yo, I want to marry you. And I'd be like, boy, you old enough to be my son. You know, I got a son older than you. How old are you? I'm 28, but I'll leave my wife right now for you. But most women would take that like, oh man, I love all this attention I'm getting. Man, I love going to the doc because all the forks come over. But what I was thinking about while I was ironing is that scripture where it says, silver and gold have I not.
Amen.
See, you might can't have me, but I got something that you can have. I'm going to give you this Jesus on this doc right quick. You need prayer, let me give you some prayer. You need a word, I'm going to give you a word. But I have something that you can have, but it's not me. Amen?
Amen.
But there's a bad spirit in the church, in the post office this year. It's bad. Like, it's not like, it's something like, I ain't never seen this before. Like, it's crazy for real. It's bad. Like, it's sexual harassment. It's all kind of stuff. Inappropriate. It's power struggles. It's vacillating for, you know, people vacillating for power. And you got a Jezebel spirit, and it's like crazy. I've never, ever, ever in all the years that I've been in there experienced what we're experiencing now, right? Sister Tish, you said, I'm none, enough is enough. She said, I'll leave that soul winning to y'all. These people in here is wild, right? You know, I can't be messing with y'all here. That's just Tish, right? Yeah, she'll talk. If you messing with y'all, I gotta go. I'm done. But it's become one of those things where you have to take the anointing of God in there to break down the principality. Once the principality is broken down, then you can witness, but it's almost like you gotta do it every day. Every single day. So I was sitting at the table, and now I understand why God keeps having me call Eva, right? So Eva told Novi about church. Novi comes to church. Eva hasn't been to church yet. So Eva comes to the table. I tell Eva, I said, how you gonna win somebody to our church and you still haven't been? So I start talking to Eva, and then Don starts getting on her. I said, I'm gonna walk away now. I'm just gonna let Don get her now because I done already said my part, right? So we're working on Eva, and she comes over, but this is the thing, she's watching everything. She says, you know, this spirit is ugly in here, but everybody wants to get over here to this dock. She says, what I've seen with you, Pastor Marquise, is you're charismatic, so everybody is drawn to you, and they want to come over here, and they want to be around you. Like the scripture says, he'll even make your enemies be at peace with you.
That's right.
Amen.
Who
was our enemy wants to buy us food every day, you know. Who was our enemy can't stay from over at the dock. Who was our enemy is always over there. I'm like, yo, she tell everybody else to go to work, but we be sitting over here chilling, right? Because God is just that good, right? But when you really look at the grand scheme of things, right, I've never seen anything like this year because there's so many people that's walking out. Like, see, you have people that would leave because they get their first paycheck, you know, and then they just dip. But these people aren't leaving because of a paycheck this year. These are people that have been there for years. It's like, I'm done, I'm done, I'm never coming back, I'm done. Even I'm thinking the same thing, like, I'm done. I got a whole lot of souls to win outside of here. There's more, right? There's plenty. The harvest is few. I mean, the harvest is plenty. So I can find another harvest field. So I'm done. I'm checking out after this year because, you know, we'll talk about that off topic. But when the Lord spoke this to me, I started thinking about it. And everything is about establishing or building a relationship, a connection. Right? Jesus said that you treat others as you want them to be treated. Why? Because the way you navigate through your relationships and how you move within the kingdom is going to affect you and propel you into your destination. You see, what happens is when you don't cultivate the relationship, then you start suffering loss like we're seeing every day. It was the correlation, right? So, what you put into this thing, you're going to receive. So I asked the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I need the scripture that a verse that I could just really pinpoint, that I could bring this out so that I could drive it home, because you know that's kind of simple, right? So but I need you to confirm what you're talking about. Then Jonathan sends a text message in the men's blast this morning. I wake up right when I grab my phone, I look at the phone, and Jonathan sends a reel of a man talking about how basically your relationships, what is pretty much what I'm talking about, right? He says it, confirms it. I knew that was confirmation, but he's talking about how relationships and how impactful and how important they are, how they can carry you. You can have some of the greatest and most loving relationships, but it's when you yourself, oh man, hurt people, but it's when you get past your own issues. It's when you get past your own mess that you can be beneficial to somebody else. But until you get past your mess, you are always holding a piece back from you. But then the Lord went even further. You see, when you don't deal with your own mess, you not only hold yourself back from people, but you hold yourself back from God. He tells you to take some time to get you right before you get in that relationship, and you go against it and you say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. It's all because your relationship with God has been compromised. You don't trust him. But when he tells you, I need you to hold off because I'm doing a work in you. I need to heal you. I need to get you to a place where you can receive. I need to get you to a place where you can heal before I turn you loose into your destination. We don't want to wait on God, and it affects your relationship in every aspect because of your unwillingness to give that time to your Lord and Savior. So I said, what's scripture? And then he laid the story of Jacob and Esau on my heart, right? Now, Jacob is Israel. He was Joseph's father, which I preached about Joseph last week, right? Or a couple weeks ago. Joseph was sold into slavery. His brothers was jealous of him. Amen. Everybody still remember, right?
Yes.
He was sold into slavery, but the Lord was preparing his heart, had to take him all the way to the dungeon, to bring him out in order for him to be number two in the kingdom, right? So now here we have Jacob. We're talking about his father. So I said, okay, Lord, well, how does this really pertain to it? For those of you who don't know the story, let me just break it down. Jacob had a brother. His name was Esau. Esau was the old, he was the eldest brother. He was set to receive the inheritance from God. Amen? But the Bible says that one day he came from out in the field, and it said that he despised his birthright, meaning he was supposed to inherit the promise from his father. His father was going to pass it down as the eldest, and basically that was the tradition of the 12 tribes of Israel, or the tradition of Judaism. Amen? So basically we're going to pass that down to the eldest every time. So here it is. Esau comes into the field, and he comes to his brother, and he's like, yo, man, feed me. Give me some food. I'm hungry. I'm starving. I'm starving too right now. Right? Give me some food. I'm starving. And he said, well, sell me your birthright. So he says, who cares about a birthright if I'm going to die from hunger, right? So the Bible says that he despised his birthright, sold it just so that he could eat, so that he could be fed of his brother. And so what ends up happening is when that time came for him to inherit his promise from his father, when that time came, his dad told him, he says, listen, I need you to go and get your weapons, get your sword, get your stuff out, go kill the venison, and when you bring it back, I want you to prepare it, because then Jacob was going to tell him what was going to befall him and what was going to give him, what he was going to give him, what was going to be passed down to him, was going to let him know what was going to happen, right? But he had sold his link, he had sold his birthright. So the Bible says that Rachel, his mother, was ear hustling. Y'all know how y'all be, church folks. Y'all know y'all be ear hustling. Brother Murray?
No, I'm just kidding.
Let me see what they praying about. It's all right if you're going to pray too. Right? But the Bible says that Rachel was ear hustling. And after she was ear hustling, the Bible says she told Jacob, go out here, get the lamb, get this one, go bring it in so we can prepare. He says, well, Mom, you know, my brother, he's real hairy. My dad ain't gonna, you know, he don't know the difference, right? My brother's hairy. I'm not a hairy man. And so the Bible says that he goes out, he does what his mom tells him, and, you know, she sets him up to where he could feel like Esau, but he wasn't Esau, but it was enough to deceive his father, because his father, Jacob, which means supplanter, his father was basically going blind. So they was able to pass this on, and he was able to eat the food that his son had prepared him, and then Esau's birthright was given to Jacob. Amen? And when you get to the passage of scripture that I want to kind of start driving home and use to kind of build on, the Bible says that when Esau came back with his venison and he came in and he had realized, or he asked his father, he brought it to his father, the Bible says that his father began to shake tremendously after he had realized what he had done. After he had given his birthright to his brother, his father got scared like, oh man, I messed up, right? And then Isaac, his father, said unto him when he came in, he says, who art thou? And he says, I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and he said, who? He said, where is he that hath taken the venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten it all before thou camest, and I have blessed him, and yea, he shall be blessed. Right? Then he goes on to say, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And I'll stop right there for a minute. I paused. Because he's asking, Lord, he's asking, Father, are you still going to bless me even though I gave it up? Now, see, the thing is what that points to me, what that's showing me is that there's some relationships issues vertically with Esau. See, when it matters, I don't really, when it didn't matter, or when I feel like it's not valuable to me, then I can throw it away. But when it's of value and it's of essence and it's beneficial for me, then I want to know where it's at. Why doesn't it happen? And then the Lord began to show me that's what a lot of people in church do. You see, God has given you a promise, and he told you he's going to give you something, and he told you he's going to do something for you. But because you don't value it in the season that he tells you, you start moving and start doing things different and start doing your own stuff. But the only time you want the blessing is when the blessing has been jeopardized and you're worried if God is still going to give it to you. Lord, are you still going to bless me? So I'm looking at it and I'm reading and I'm like, well, Lord, I just put this in the song. Esau only wanted you when it was beneficial for him. He only wanted you when you was going to do something for him, or when it was going to move, or it was going to bless him. Just like when he went to his brother to be fed, it was only for him. He wasn't thinking about anything else in the process. See, what happens when you start moving selfishly is all you do is you spend all your time considering you, your feelings, where you're at. But you don't understand that God has feelings too. You don't understand that he has a plan and that he has a purpose for your life. But because you're so selfish and because you're so caught up in yourself, you can't see that God has a bigger and a better plan for you. And you try to figure it out yourself until it's in jeopardy of not being received. He says, are you going to bless me even also, my father? And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and he had taken away your blessing. So, I want y'all to consider that for a minute. He came through, he didn't get it the right way, is basically what it's saying. He didn't get it the right way, but he got it, right? So, when you look at other people in church, they don't always have it together, but God still blesses them. They don't have it together, but they show him, he still shows them ridiculous favor. So there's a difference between Jacob and Esau right now in this moment and in this setting. Jacob still wants the things of God because he understood the value of what God was going to give him. Where Esau, now that it's being taken away, so you know, it's something about somebody robbing you and taking something from you. You know? It's something about somebody stealing from you. It's like, oh my God, you want to, woo. Yeah. Right? You want to do something about that.
Yeah. Amen.
You gonna camp out at night, you gonna wait till they come back. I hope you come back and steal from me again. I got something for you. Amen. I mean, I was younger, one of my dad's cousins had broken our house and we waited up all night on him. I wish he would come through that window right now. I wish he would. God was watching him. And he said, it's not he rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken my blessing also. And he said, has thou not reserved a blessing for me, Daddy? God, do you still have a blessing for me? God, do you still have something for me? I know I didn't want it before, but I want it now. But see, you have something that nobody can ever take from you. See, the beautiful thing about this dispensation that you're in is when God gives you a word, no man can put it asunder. But see, back then, they can put it asunder. It can just switch hands. But see, God has given you something, and you can even get up and say, I'm going to grasp hold of it, Lord, and I'm willing to walk with you in the wherever it is that you're trying to take me in order to obtain it. Or I can say, Lord, I don't want it. I want to do it my way. But guess what? The promise is still there. When promises don't come to fruition, that ain't because God lied to you. It means that you did something wrong. It means that you went off course somewhere. It means you sitting somewhere and you were supposed to be somewhere else. So you missed your blessing. Amen? But then he goes on and he says, Isaac answered him and said unto Esau, behold, I've made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for service. And with corn and wine I have sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Esau says unto his father, hast thou but one blessing for me, father? Bless me even also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. That doesn't sound like a man that really despised his birthright. He really wanted it. You see, that's the thing about people. When you're able to control your emotions, even when you're in a vicarious situation, when you're able to control your emotions, even when the odds are stacked against you, and you can still stand with God. Hallelujah. See, he despised it in the moment where his back was against the wall. He felt like he was going to die of starvation. But that wasn't really the case. Amen. That wasn't really the case. He wasn't going to die. It was just the moment, and he was allowing the moment to dictate his circumstances. But here now it matters, Lord. I really want my promise. I want my blessing. Now, every time you've heard about Esau's birthright, you heard this passage of scripture, we're always talking about Esau despising his birthright, right? We always highlight that. But I want to switch it up now. I want to talk about Jacob. I want to talk about Jacob a little bit, right? When I preached last week, I was like, I said, Lord, why would Jacob be so sneaky like that? And what was really the underlying issue with Jacob? And, you know. So then the Lord starts showing me different stuff, you know, start connecting the dots. And so he brought up a couple weeks ago when I preached about Joseph. Jacob's two sons, Reuben, Levi, they basically went against their father's word. They went against his leadership. Amen. And that's a whole different sermon in and of itself. But they went against his leadership. So they were all jealous of their brother Joseph. So Joseph is sold into slavery. Joseph goes all the way to the dungeon dealing with characteristic issues so that he can be prepared to win his family and to win his brothers. So I said, well, Lord, I still don't get it. I need you to connect the dots for me. And then I started looking into the scripture a little bit more, and I went to Genesis chapter 25. So when you go to Genesis chapter 25, verse 25, the Bible says, first came out Esau, who was reddish all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau because he was hairy. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand grasped Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob, one who grasped by the heel a supplanter. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. When the boys grew up, Esau was an able and skilled hunter, a man of the outdoors. Here, we're about to get into something here, right? When the boys grew up, Esau was an able, skilled hunter, a man of the outdoors, but Jacob was quiet, and he was a peaceful man living in tents. So right off the bat, he's like his son Joseph. He's just like Joseph. He's a peaceful man. He lives in tents, right? Here's the thing. Now, Isaac loved and favored Esau because he enjoyed eating his game, but Rebekah loved and favored Jacob. Rebekah loved Jacob more, but his daddy liked Esau more. Now, most of y'all are like, where are you going with this, Pastor? Right. See, Jacob had jealousy issues. Jacob was jealous of his brother Esau. His heart wasn't right. He was jealous that he was his father's favorite. We don't talk about this kind of stuff. He was jealous that he was his father's favorite. But see, those are issues that he never dealt with either, because it was passed on to his own children, who was jealous of his son and sold him into slavery. So here he is, he gives up his own flesh and blood, and he steals his flesh and blood's birthright, and his sons steal their flesh and blood. You see the generational curse, the passing, or what was passed on, all because we didn't want to deal with the relationship things that trouble them today. I said, oh, okay, Lord, that makes sense. He was jealous of his brother, that's why he wanted to take from him, because he really wanted to be that guy. Now, some of you I might get home and Jay might say, well, I don't know about that, baby. You might be reaching. You might be reaching. I didn't get that part. It's all right. I'm holding on to my guns. Right now. It don't matter. See, he was a mama's boy, but he was a daddy's boy. The blessing was coming from the daddy, not the mama. That's why mama had to conspire to make sure that the baby got it. Because it wasn't coming from his daddy. They had to steal it from him. They had to make it happen instead of, because it wasn't intended for him to happen. See, some of you got blessings that went to somebody else, but it was intended for it to be going to you. It was all because you wasn't in the right place at the right time. It was all because you didn't want it. You was too busy looking at your brother or your sister being blessed. You wonder why people aren't blessed? Because they put a lot in it to get blessed. You want to know why they got favor? It's because they put a lot into getting favor. They don't just come over to the table because all of a sudden they just like you.
That's right.
They come to your table because something is drawing them to your table. There's something that's bringing them over there. They don't come to your door to talk to you just because. They come over there because you've invested something and God has given you something back. You put something in it, you got an anointing back, and the anointing is strong. And no matter what's in their flesh or what's going on with them, it's drawing them to you because God gave you something because of what you put in it. Amen. Amen. When the boys grew up, Esau was an able, skilled hunter, a man of the outdoors, but Jacob was quiet and peaceful. Isaac loved and favored Esau because he enjoyed eating his game. But Rebekah loved and favored Jacob. Stand with me. Golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would men that should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets. I'm going to close with this. The reason why I want to close with this is because it's a segue into the rest of that verse. See, when God takes you through something, you don't know how imperative it is that you stay in the trial.
Amen. Amen.
When God is trying to work something out of you, that means that there's something else that's attached to it. He needs to work it out of you. It might just be, I'm working it out of you so that you can love harder. I'm working it out of you so that you can be a better sister, to be a better brother. You wonder why you keep getting offended. It's because you've been failing every time. Every time God brought the offense, you allowed the offense to run you and to drive you. Therefore, you're right back in the same situation all over again because you're not willing to deal with really what's in front of you. You're focusing on the offense more than anything else. But when you look at this scripture, he says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even for them, for this is the law of the prophets. He said, listen, if your heart is not right, you're not going to get to the next part.
That's right.
If you don't deal with the character issues and allow God to turn it up, you're not going to make it to the next part. Listen, enter ye in the straight gate. Everybody say straight gate.
Straight gate.
For wide is the gate.
Wide is the
gate. And broad is the way.
Broad is
the way. That leads to destruction, and as many there be which is going there. That means that it's right here, it's all open. This is offenses. This is, I'm offended. This is, I'm mad. This is everything that you entangle yourself in. This is a wide opening, and that, and many is going to find their way. But he says straight and narrow is the path. Why? Because we're going to deal with those issues that are directly in front of us so that we can stay on the straight and narrow path. So you can't go down roads that are blocked and they have roadblocks there. You have to figure out how to get around it. But see, when it comes to the things of God, there's a roadblock that's there. When they sing the song, there's no mountain. There's no mountain. That means that when there's a roadblock, all you got to do is trust in Jesus, because he's going to remove it so that you can get down your path.
Amen.
You ain't got to worry about trying to make an alternate road. Just stay on the path. I see that the road is clogged, but guess what? I'm going to keep going this way, because somehow my God is going to move it out of my way. I'm just going to trust that he's going to help me to get to that point.
Amen.
We see the roadblock. The first thing we want to do is go somewhere else. No, stay on the road. Why? Because straight and narrow is the path. It's broad to everything else. And then what does he say? Enter ye into the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go to it. But because the straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, there's going to be few that finds it.
My God.
He didn't say it's going to be a lot. He said it's going to be a few. Why? Because only a few is ready to pull up their bridges and say, Lord, I got some issues, let's deal with it.
That's right. Amen.
We don't try to find and put that blame on somebody else. No. I don't care if you got divorced and you're mad at your husband. I don't care if you got past issues and you're mad. You got issues and it's time to get on that straight gate. Let me go ahead and start dealing with some issues. Let me stop blaming everything else. Let me get on the path of righteousness. Let me start walking down this path. Let me go ahead and get through my roadblocks and start a trek instead of trying to take an alternate route. That's why I say few is going to find you. Because very few want to look at that man or that woman in the mirror and say that you ugly right now.
Mm.
That's right.
You don't want to look in that mirror and say, I don't have it all together. You don't want to look in that mirror and say, I don't have the right answer. You don't want to look in that mirror and say, I'm chock full of pride. You don't want to look in that mirror and say, you know what, I am hurting. I got some healing to do. I would rather just take the alternate route and tell somebody else what they got going on in their life, but I didn't want to deal with my own personal issue. I got my own stuff to deal with. And I ain't just preaching to you. I got my own stuff to deal with. But I tell you, I'm man enough to look in the mirror and say, okay, Lord, we got to do this.
Amen.
Because I'm tired of it. Amen. I don't want to keep going. I don't want to keep being here. I got stuff to do.
Amen.
You see, that mirror is a reflection. Every time you look in that mirror, when you go into a prayer closet, the first thing you're supposed to take is you.
That's right. Amen.
I'm praying for everything. Did you take you first? You go before the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to, what are we dealing with? Because I know there's something in me that ain't right. I need to hit that straight gate. I got to be there. What's stopping me from staying on that path? Oh, we can look at everybody else real quick. Oh, this person doing this, they doing that, and this, this, and this, and this, and this, and that. Did you deal with your issues today? Jamie, like, they always playing the victim. It's always somebody else's fault. When you keep being in the same situation, it's because God is trying to work it up out of you. Stop playing the victim and get on the straight gate. Start investing in God. Lord, I'm going to invest my time in dealing with this issue because I know I'm going to get a godly reward in return.
Amen.
Or you can take the wide road. While everybody else is moving forward, you're on that wide road because you don't want to deal with nothing. Why is Sister Dawn blessed? Because she took all her issues to God and even she just worked out more issues than you.
That's right.
It ain't saying she perfect. It's saying that she was willing to take imperfection to a great
yes!
God.
Yes! Yes!
That's what that means.
That's right!
So you sit back and look.
Because she be the one that's full of joy about God right now. So why I'm using her? Because she the one that being here on fire.
Praise God. Yes.
It's because she took all that to God.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm unhappy.
Yes.
I'm lonely.
Yes.
I don't like where I'm at.
Yes.
God said, here, let's go ahead and move that roadblock.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you something else.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep you busy. I'm going to set you on fire for soul winning. So now I got to tell him, okay, God, give him a break. We got to go work.
Yes, yes.
You can get at him again in 15, 20 minutes when it slow down, but we got work to do still. But it's okay, because I am my sister's keeper. Amen.
Amen.
You see, this is a great blessing. It's a great anointing when you get through great issues. I'm going to say it again. It's a great blessing and it's a great anointing when you get through great issues. When you start running from them. And when you go and you confront that man or that woman in the mirror every time and you say, Lord, what's the root of this? He's going to show you.
Amen.
He'll show you. But you got to be willing to take that person to the front. Stop making everybody else the excuse for your mess and just take it to God and say, Lord, I got mess. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to deal with it. It's a bunch of mess. It's funky. It stinks. It's big. Lord, I need you to remove it because I'm tired of it. And he's faithful and just to do that.
Amen.
Let's lift up our hands for a moment. The beautiful thing about preaching. So I preach to myself too. I don't tell you nothing that I don't have to practice or do myself. But my prayer today is that we're willing to do the work. I'm thankful for every confirmation. I'm thankful that Brother Jonathan sent me that video. That he sent that reel. Because it shows that relationships can affect how you get it. Relationships can affect your salvation. Relationships can stop you from making it into heaven. Because you don't want to deal with it. You got to have your heart right. So Father, as we close, I just pray over our church, Lord, over your church. That our minds and our hearts are fixated on you, Lord. And for those of you that need to make your way, because you got an offering to give God today. An offering of praise. An offering of your worship. You might have something to give them. You might want to bring that thing that's been nagging you for many years or that's been nagging and bothering you. And just bring it to God right now to the altar for a moment. And just spend some time with him, see. Because the favor of the Lord is here right now. So the Spirit of God is in the room right now. So you can take anything to God right now that's been plaguing you. Things that's been bothering you. And you can bring it before his face. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. You can bring it right now. Or you can walk out of here with the same issue thinking that it ain't an issue. Or you can surrender and submit it right now. Say, God, I'm acknowledging that I got a problem. I'm acknowledging that my ways aren't perfect. I'm acknowledging that I don't have it all together. I'm acknowledging that I got some things that's been hindering me. So, Father, right now, I give it to you because I don't know how to press past it. I don't know how to overcome it. And see, while you're praying, while you're praying, see, I'm speaking prophetically right now. The Holy Ghost is going to begin to move, and he's going to start speaking to you the things that you can do, the things that you need to do, the things that he wants to do. He's going to start whispering in your ear. And every time you start having, or every time you begin to reminisce of that problem again, he's going to be right there to tell you how to get past it and how to move away from it every time. It might not feel good. It might not be the way that you want it. But just keep taking it to him. Say, Lord, I got this battle again today. I need you to fight it. I need you to help me to overcome it. And see, tomorrow you might feel good. But the day after that, you might feel bad again. And you got to fight it all over again. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, give us strength to win more. For you never lost. That's what you said in the song. You never lose. But that's when it's been surrendered and submitted to you. So we suffer loss when we don't give it to God. Hallelujah.
Let him speak to you.
So he's probably already ministering that word right now. He's already probably telling you right now what he wants you to do, the next step in your life. Yes. Stay on the street, Lord of God. Stay on it. Stay on the street, Lord of God. Stay on it. Go in and invest and give it to him. Because he has something for you. In Jesus' name.